You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Right now, we are going to dig into God's Word. So if you would get out your Bibles, everyone's got sermon notes on their chairs. If you are in an aisle seat, there's a cup of pens. If you could take a pen and pass it down, we want you to be taking notes every single time that we open up God's Word together so that we can have even more intentional life group discussions. And man, I'm so grateful for that time of worship we had together. Thank you again to our student worship team. And it reminds me of where I was at 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I had just graduated from high school. I know. Kind of old, kind of unk. The 10-year reunion is coming up. 10 years ago, I was a student at Claremont High. I was a part of the Wolfpack. And I was a student, Wolfpack or die. And I was an HSM student here in this room. And for us, back in 2016, for my class, one of the big news, one of the big events that year was our boys basketball team making it to the second round of CIF. Now, this was a big deal because we had not gotten past the second round in boys basketball in a few years, and one of my best friends, Harlan, was a senior on the team at that time, and they play the first round of CIF. They win by a ton. They get to the second round, and they're playing against a school called West Ranch High School, and they're playing away. They're playing at this school. And the game did not go, it wasn't a landslide lead like it had been the first game. But thankfully, one of Harlan's teammates, Kyle, has an amazing second half of the game, and he gets the game down to 1 point. Claremont's losing by 1 point with 5 seconds left on the clock, and there's a ball out of bounds. And so they draw up a play, and you will see that Harlan is trying to get the ball to his friend Kyle because Kyle's got hot hands. He's going to pass. That's the play. They go straight to Kyle. But this is how it actually turned out. Let's watch this. That video literally went viral. It was crazy. Yes, so they get the ball to Kyle. The shot, of course, bounces off. That's why you always go for the rebound, okay? In games and in life, go for the rebound. Harlan follows up. He says that he realizes, hey, I can take a breath. I'm going to take this shot. And as the ball's in the air, buzzer goes off. Claremont wins, and we make it to the next round. It was so hype. And if we're honest, we all want to be that guy. You know what I mean? Like, we want to be that person who's at the right place at the right time, who has kind of makes that glorious shot that gets our team the win. But that is way easier said than done, not only in sports, but really in life. And if we're honest, most of us actually tend to make the wrong calls at the worst times. And so here's some examples. And I feel like I've participated in all of these, so let me know if I'm not alone. Instead of shutting down gossip, we actually join in on it. instead of washing the dishes with joy, we snap at our parents and give them a bad attitude because we're annoyed that they asked us to do chores. Instead of having healthy, God-glorifying boundaries with our boyfriend and girlfriend, we actually try to see how far we can go and get away with it. Instead of exiting that website or avoiding that party, we drink or smoke or give in to temptation. Maybe when someone talks negatively about Christianity, instead of sharing our faith in Christ, we pretend like we're not a Christian at all. You see, for Harlan, in that game, in order to make that buzzer beater winner, he had to have knowledge and experience to put himself in the right place at the right time. But then he had to have hours and years of practice doing the right thing so that he could sink the shot at the right time. And if you are a Christian, you also need those things. You need wisdom, you need knowledge, and you need practice. Help from the Holy Spirit in order to do the right thing when he asks us to. And if you're not a Christian, I just want to say that we're so glad that you're here, and we hope that as you are in community here, you get to know Jesus more, and that you would find that living a God-glorifying life is actually the best life you can live. And if you are a Christian, we're not going to become all-star Christians overnight. Just like we talked about, we need practice. We actually need a playbook to figure out how to live. And thanks be to God, he gave us a playbook. He gave us his word. And so if you would open your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 1, we will be here all night. God has given us his word, and it is the best playbook for our lives. And the book of Proverbs is actually known as a book of wisdom. It's in the genre of wisdom. And as we turn to chapter 1, we will see how the playbook, true wisdom, will always come from God's word. So find me in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is the book of Proverbs. We see in verse 1, Proverbs is written by King Solomon, son of David, and immediately we get to see the clear purpose of Proverbs, and it is to gain wisdom and instruction. It's to learn, verses 2 and 3, it's written for us to learn to do what is right, just, and fair. And I think what's helpful is understanding that there's a difference between information and wisdom. I want you to think right now about someone in your life who is very smart, who knows a lot of facts. And now I want you to think about someone in your life who you would go to for advice. You probably thought about two different people. I don't know about you, but the smartest person I know is Google. If I need to know a fact, I'm looking it up. But for most of life, which is full of more complicated and unique situations, hopefully there's someone in your life who has wisdom to help you navigate those things. Today, in 2026, I really don't think we need more information. There's plenty of it. Plenty of information, plenty of opinions. What we need is wisdom. And in verse 7, we saw that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise it. So I know some of you are still in school. Most of you just got out of school. I'm sorry to, you know, take you back to finals week really quick. But the thesis statement of the book of Proverbs, the overarching theme of the book of Proverbs, is that the beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. And we're going to talk more about what that means in a couple minutes. But let's read on to get a fuller picture of what's going on here in Proverbs. So find me still in Proverbs chapter 1, but this time picking up in verse 10. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us. We will all share the loot. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths. For their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. Proverbs, as you can already see, is rich in imagery, that there's a lot of illustration so that we have a deeper understanding of the truths that are being communicated. And what we're seeing is that Proverbs identifies the problem that we already discussed. That usually in life, it's so much easier to not choose the right thing. It's so much easier to choose sin. And sin is any thought, word, or action that is disobedient to God. I actually love verse 16 that we just read. That imagery is so powerful for me. Their feet rush towards evil. The picture of sin and wickedness that we see in Proverbs is people who live selfishly, that they're living for themselves in their heart. And what Proverbs is telling us is that that kind of selfish heart is evil. That kind of selfish heart opposes wisdom. It opposes God because that kind of heart is not humble. And there might be people in your life who tempt you in going along that selfish path. But if we're really honest, each one of us at our hearts, at our core, we also have that selfish tendency. But Proverbs instructs us not to be enticed by those people and by those thoughts, not to give in to them, not going along with them. Because while that is an option, to choose foolishness, to choose pride and selfishness, the other option in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20, says, out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery? And fools hate knowledge. Verse 28. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. That's wisdom speaking. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Proverbs lays out for us a comparison between the wise and the foolish. And every day, that's our choice. Every day, we can choose between wisdom and foolishness. That's your next fill-in. And as we just read, we will eat the fruit or we will face the consequences of whatever choice we make. While wickedness and foolishness is tempting and honestly enticing and attractive, wisdom is out in the open. It's calling out to all of us. Wisdom is available to everyone who accepts God's word and follow his commands. And that is good news. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 reads this. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and call aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. True wisdom, what we learn from Proverbs, true wisdom comes only from God. True wisdom is more valuable than treasure. True wisdom leads to success and every good path. And true wisdom begins with fear of the Lord. God is a really good God. He is beyond our understanding. It's only a God of true wisdom who can exist three in one. And he is so generous that he wants to give us his wisdom. He wants us to live lives for him. And because of our sin, we were separated from God. But he loved us so much that he didn't want us to face the consequence of death by choosing sin and selfishness. And so he sent his son Jesus to live the perfect life that you and I never could. Fully God and fully man, the only human who made every right call at every right time. And so when he innocently was put to death on a cross, he was the perfect payment for our sins. And then on the third day, he rose from the dead, conquering sin and death forever and offering new life, everlasting life, to everyone who would believe and put their faith in him. That is the gospel, the good news of Jesus. But how does that picture of a loving God fit with this idea that wisdom starts with fear of the Lord? Because that kind of like doesn't really make sense, right? Like, what does it mean that we would fear this God who we keep hearing loves us so much? Well, I didn't really understand fear of the Lord, honestly, until one of our adult leaders, Haley, helped explain this to me. And this fear of the Lord in the Hebrew, it doesn't mean like fear, like, oh my gosh, I'm so scared. But it's actually recognizing that something is so mighty that it actually draws you to worship and respect it. That's what fear of the Lord means. It means reverence or respect, that's your last fill-in, worship and awesomeness. And so it's kind of like, think about the ocean. The ocean is so fun and approachable that even little babies can like stick their feet in the water, right? They can have fun with it. They can love the beach. They can love the ocean. But the ocean is also extremely powerful and dangerous, and it can easily sweep you away. And so a healthy relationship with the ocean is delighting in it, knowing that it's fun, enjoying it, but respecting it enough to remember that how powerful it is. And it's kind of that way with fear of the Lord. God loves you. He does want to be your best friend. He wants to be your closest relationship that you have. But God is also holy and perfect, all wise, and he deserves our worship and respect. So for example, that's why when we pray to God, we don't say, hey, chat, you know, we're like not trying to be that casual. Like we say, Heavenly Father, dear Jesus, we're showing our respect. That's why when we're here at HSM and at church, we ask you to take out your headphones, to put away your phones, because we want to respect God and what it means to worship here as we gather together. That is what fear of the Lord is. And living our lives with that kind of worship will lead us to a life of wisdom. Now, as we begin to close, I love the story that I shared at the beginning of Harlan's buzzer beater win. But what I love more about that story is the story behind that story. Because Harlan was not this like, you know, basketball star to me. He was and still is one of my best friends. And so here's a picture of us, our senior year of high school with some of our friends. He was the only senior on the team that year, so for senior night, we just made him a sign that said Harlan Night, so we were pretty excited about it. But Harlan was a friend that, for us and my friends behind us, there was a group of us who started coming to HSM here on Wednesday nights. We were worshiping on Sunday mornings, and we were growing in our relationship with Jesus, and Harlan was one of our friends who did not know Jesus. And Harlan was that friend who we were like, we would just love for him to experience the joy, peace, and freedom that comes with knowing Jesus. And so we invited him to church, and he didn't come. And so we kept inviting and he kept inviting him. And months later, Harlan finally came to join us at HSM about a month or two before that CIF win. And what we didn't know, we saw Harlan going to church, but what we didn't see what was going on in his heart. And what he has shared with me then and shared with me now is when he started coming to church, he realized that he had spent his whole life chasing things that he thought would satisfy him. And he was beginning to wonder if trying everything to get to the top just wasn't worth it. He tried to find his worth in basketball, as you see. He tried to find his worth in relationships and in school. And as he started coming to church and worshiping Jesus, hearing God's word, being in his life group, he felt like God started to work on his heart very quickly and that God was inviting him to consider God being God and God being the Lord of his life. And a couple games before that CIF win, Harlan started praying before every basketball game. And he would pray, God, I don't know if you're real, but I feel like I've been worshiping basketball and I kind of think you're the real God that I should be worshiping. And so take this away, take basketball away from me if that's what you want. And so he started praying that prayer and nothing really happened. He prayed it one more time before that game and he made his dream shot. He made the shot that he had been working for all his life and it was all our school and everyone could talk about for about a week. And then it died down, and everyone moved on. And Harlan, looking back, said that he feels like God really did answer his prayer. He felt like God let him experience what he'd been working so hard to experience just to realize that that would never actually satisfy him. And that the only life worth living was one dedicated to God. And later that year, Harlan gave his life to Jesus, became a follower of him, and he actually became one of our HSM interns a few years later. And today, him and his wife and their new baby girl serve at a college ministry at UCLA, sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus, with college students, all for God's glory. God got a hold of his heart. And Harlan's life, that moment, that story demonstrates how when we humble ourselves before God, that's when we find true wisdom and true life. And that is available to you too. If you want wisdom, all you need to do is worship God wholeheartedly. And you can only do that with the strength of the Holy Spirit and by knowing the playbook, which is God's word. And so on each of your seats is a Bible reading plan that we're challenging every HSMer to take that will help you read the book of Proverbs twice all summer long. And if you complete this Bible reading plan before fall kickoff, which is September 2nd, so you've got a lot of time. If you complete this whole Bible reading plan, our HSM team is gonna take you out to Starbucks or pizza or something so that we can connect and hear about how God has been seeking you and teaching you through his word. As we close, I want to encourage us all to remember that true wisdom, the best playbook for life, true wisdom comes only from God. True wisdom is more valuable than treasure. True wisdom leads to success and every good path, and true wisdom begins with fear of the Lord. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are the source and the giver of wisdom. And God, I pray that as we head to our life groups, I pray that your word would become the playbook for all of our lives, that you would help us to understand what it really looks like to live with fear of you, Lord, respect and worship. And Lord, would you bond our life groups to help our community spur one another on towards you and love and good works. We love you so much, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.